Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
When our children were young, I used to send them out when they were walking from the door, whether to take a spin on their bike or with their family car. I'd say, have fun and use good judgment. And then quietly, I would pray to the loving Father to look over them during their adventures. And when they would return with stories to tell or at times no stories to tell, I would quietly say, Creator of heaven and the universe, thank you for your tender care, bridging your love from heaven to your care of them on earth. Thought of that again last night at midnight when our youngest son, now in his early 30s, drove from Phoenix, Arizona to San Antonio with his truck and a U-Haul trailer, making his move to San Antonio, all in one day. The sense of adventure. Now, he had planned to stop somewhere along the way and to spend the night, but the energy was there, and he was excited, and he just kept growing safely. He also knew that Interstate 10 was the good way to go. When the wise men were making their journey 2,000 years ago, they knew the purpose for their journey. They knew a general direction to travel, but they didn't know exactly how to get there. But they used good judgment, consulting the Lord's guidance, and they had fun along the way, at least in my imagination. And in the midst of having fun and using good judgment, they trusted the guidance of the star to get them where they needed to be generally so they could find specifically in their location. In this year, 2020, you may know specifically where you want to end up come December 31. It's a leap year, so 364 days in this year. Where maybe that you have this knowing that you're trusting God's presence and character at work within you, and maybe you've learned in life that if you want to make God laugh, you what? You tell him your plans. But unless we're willing to plan, we can't see what God is willing to show, and we stay humble in the way, and we're not sure exactly where we'll be, but we know that we want to be under his lead. And to take a decade of 120 months, 520 weeks, take a decade of 3,653 days, or more than 5 million minutes. And know that every one of them is a gift. It's not to be hoarded, but it's to be trusted with our lives. And like the wise men of old who gave their gold and frankincense and myrrh, as I expressed in my prayer, so it is that we may give our time, our treasure, and our talent as this way of putting skin in the game of our life with this gift of time. So on this Sunday, January the 5th, this first Sunday of this new year, we're concluding the 12 days of Christmas, and the real meaning of the 12 days of Christmas is not partridge in a pear tree, but it is a sense of knowing that there's a journey from when Christ was born until understanding what that meant. And the wise men, arriving maybe 2 years after he was born, they arrived on the scene, and this day is called Epiphany, the Sunday of light, the Sunday of understanding, the illumination of more people understanding the gift of God becoming like us in the Messiah, so that we would know that God knows what it's like to have skin in the game of life, that on this Sunday, that this Christmas journey into 2020 may send you into this great adventure that God has before you. Now, the 2020s present both promise and peril, the peril of a fast-paced change without our allowing God to create good change in our character. Unless God is creating good change in our character, what we have is peril without promise. But the problems have a promise applied to them as solutions to meet the need, if we're willing to be people of faith who are not controlled by fear. So the wise men, again, are instructive for us that in this year, as Debbie asked for us to pay attention to Scripture each and every day, so it is that we can come to Scripture but see what God is wanting to show us in Scripture. And today's brief meditation, more than a sermon, it is looking at the passages here and realizing, oh, okay, that's what it meant then, but here's what it means for me now. the wise men were called wise because they showed us how to trust God in changing times. And the peril that we're in the midst of is that the pace of change is moving much faster than what we can keep up with in the character of a human nature, what we can keep up with in our capacity to give direction to the change to make sure it's always creating good and not bad. You see, that's a gift of the opportunity, but in the midst of our time, we have to get ahead of the change by having God put his unchanging character in our life, changing us in light of him so that his unchanging love will win the day of where we are. August Higgins, who read the scripture today with Jesse, shared with me and our pastoral staff and some of our trustees the meaning of a word that I had never heard before. It's a new word that was developed by travelers about 2017. It's called cottywampel. If nothing else, you'll just enjoy saying it, cottywampel. It's a fun name to say. And what it means is to travel in a purposeful manner towards an uncertain destination. Like the wise men of old, they had purposeful manner in their travel, but they weren't exactly sure where the star was going to take them, but they knew that that was the journey they were to take. In our travel of life, we can know many destination points along the way, but we don't understand all of it in light of God. But we don't wait and not get started because we don't know all the details. It's in the journey, it's in the action, it's making sure we're headed in the right direction for the right reasons, trusting in God's resources, then that God will provide what we need to know as we need to know it on the journey. And so how is this for you and after Christmas, this 12 days after Christmas? And verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So what happens after Christmas? Charles Schulz, a great believer who gave us the comic strip Peanuts, put it this way. When Charlie Brown was calling out and saying to Lucy, I still have the feel of Christmas. I think I can still love everybody and have that sense of joy for a really long time. And Lucy turns to him and walks away and says, who cares? And he says to her, and have a happy year yourself too. The sense that there are always going to be those people that will step into our life and will try to trip us up and try to distract us. And the big way, in a non-humorous way, was Herod, this powerful king and a cruel man who had a lot of power that he never deserved. And yet, in the world's economy, he had this power and he used it in a way that killed his wives, father-in-law, some of his sons, and killed thousands of the people of whom he ruled over in Israel. His authority came from Caesar and the Roman Senate. He built palaces throughout Israel as a way to be able to get away from the pressures of Jerusalem. But in the palaces, he never found a peace either. And the most famous one, Masada, in the southern part of Israel, he never even went to. The sense of the cruelty of a maligned soul is at work in our world today. And the power of not giving power to the maligned souls at work in our world today is how we disempower them because we have connected into the power of God. We find in verse 2 then, that there is a king that was born and we were to worship him because his star rose. And God gave signs for all to have eyes to see. Jesus would frequently say as the adult Messiah, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, then see my message and hear my message. That's our call. That's why this Epiphany Sunday, the Sunday of light, is to be able to see what it is that God is willing to see. Herod didn't want to see it. And so there are forces today that don't want to see this light of hope that God provides. And yet there is a way to be able to get forward to see what's into the future. Recently, some of our family members went out west to the Big Bend country. We did a family hike, and our six-year-old granddaughter was seated on a rock looking far into the future, or at least across the vast land of 800,000 acres of Big Bend, kind of imagining what she was seeing about looking of what was ahead. When we have eyes of faith to see what is ahead, then though we can see the difficulties, we see the promise overcoming the difficulties, and we in worship today, we here in the sanctuary of Trinity Baptist Church, we ourselves must be the people that have our anxiety lower than the rest of the world. We must help to lead the way in the light of the church and light of the gospel and light of for all of humanity, that though we feel some fear within our own life, we have placed that fear into the hands of God, and the fear has become faith, so that we may be faithful. Now, if we're looking at the Scriptures and letting Scriptures really be more than something that we say that we read, but that we actually read and let the meaning speak to us, we find in verse 3 that King Herod, he heard this news about the Messiah being born, and he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, who centers your day? The people of Jerusalem, they first had to tune in, they felt, to what Herod was feeling, to know what they were feeling, what he was thinking, to know what they were thinking, because they were afraid of him, and he controlled them by their fear. But when the Lord is truly leading a revolution in our own lives, by which then we can lead his revolution in the world, we first tune in to him. Now, the first president long ago, when I became a pastor, was Jimmy Carter, a day gone by. But for every inauguration of each new president, I have prayed a prayer. And I prayed it again this last inauguration. Lord, don't let my life be centered around the news from this person. But I pray for this person that you will bless him, guide him, bless our nation, that we will be your people. But don't let what I feel and think be consumed by the news just centered around this. It's a practical prayer that maybe in your own way you do that better. But that you find a freedom, the freedom that comes by faith in God, who sets us free then by which his direction can be our direction to help give God's direction within our world. And so, Herod then turned to his advisors, and he said, now where is this Messiah to be born? Verses 4 through 6. And the real thing that Herod missed was, yes, they said Bethlehem, and that's indeed where the historical event took place. But the key part of Jesus being born into the world as a baby was to show that he is to be born into our lives. He is to have a live birth by faith experience with him, that the Messiah is born in your life today, on this Sunday, in this new year, for this new decade that's unfolding. That's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift of powerful love. I was paying attention to a 4-year-old boy recently, and he was seated down, and I walked into the room, and he said to me, I didn't ask a question, he just said to me, because I love her, and he gave the name, I'm going to give her my other toy. So evidently, he'd been thinking about what to do with this other toy he had, because he was given a toy that was just like the one, or similar to like the one he had. And he thought he was working out a problem. Nobody asked him to. He was just working it out. And what was he guided by? His opening words was, because I love her, I want to give this. See, asking the right question, being guided in the right way, leads us to that right answer. And that's what we have the power for. No one can take that power away from you. No one. And so in verses 7 and 8, what we discover then is that Herod said he sent then the wise men to Bethlehem, which is only a 6-mile walk from the old city of Jerusalem. But he thought he had hijacked them. He thought that he had kidnapped them. He thought he controlled them. Herod thought, now the king of Israel is saying to them, you're going under my command. But the wise men were having none of it. They knew that their life purpose would not be hijacked. But their life purpose was to help fulfill God's purpose in the world, even to find its way back to giving purpose to Herod. And so as they traveled then and arrived in Bethlehem, the star had guided them, the specific, the location had been given, and when they arrived, they felt joy. And joy is that contagious feeling of a relationship that creates an inner happiness called contentment beyond simply the circumstances that we have in a moment. They were overjoyed. They bowed in the presence of the gift of the Messiah and in the presence with Mary and Joseph. And they had intentionally brought gifts of gratitude, and you know them. The reason we think there were 3 kings is because 3 gifts were given. We're not sure how many kings there were or wise men. But of gold and this frankincense and the myrrh, of knowing that this was a joy that was given and therefore in joy they gave the gift. Your generosity to share your life and what you have in the lives of others for God's purposes is what creates the greatest joy. And to find your joy in God is to find the source of joy for all that is good. Have you ever found yourself laughing and enjoying something that nobody else in the room got? But you didn't hold back. You went ahead and laughed and you enjoyed the moment. Because you saw in that a joy moment, because there was a sense of a goodness of God's promise that was being revealed. That's a gift that we may give within our lives. And so, and having been warned in a dream, these scholarly searchers of faith did not go back to Herod as the king had demanded. They were not controlled by false authority, but they traveled back to the home country in another way. There's another way to get there. There is this other way to be able to find God's way to make sure his purposes will win. And they had the capacity to have a range of seeing how God is seeking to show them within their life. That's a freedom which God provides. And Joseph himself had a dream. You know, it would have been wonderful if everyone would have said, this is great, the Messiah is here. But just as we saw in our video clip earlier, the promises of the Christ doesn't mean the difficulties don't arrive. Nobody has to convince you of that, me of that. We know that. We know that in our own lives. You know what's pressing upon you now. But in the light of that, like Joseph, God will stir us in such a way. And then he got up and he took Mary, the mother, and the baby, and went to a direction he had no plans on going in. He went south, across the Sinai Desert, into Egypt. You go to Cairo today and you can go to a traditional location where it was thought that they set up home for a couple of years before making their way back. The sense of trusting God's purposes in their life revealed the destination where they were to go. Now, every day has 1,440 minutes in it. What will you do with them in light of Christ? Every day has a joy to provide itself for us to see. What will you see uncovered with the eyes of faith? And along the way, surprises will come. And who do you see as the sovereign Lord that gives you his grace? Our deacons come forward now. And as they come forward, we prepare in the celebration of this communion. Lord, in this moment, we see treasures that have been opened up before us, a bread broken in light of the bread of life, this Jesus who came in flesh and in our midst. We are grateful that you give us this day to see all of our time more clearly in light of Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.